Hello, today is Thursday, June 4th, 2026. Following is a 30-minute reading coming to you from the Talking Information Center featuring the latest edition of Sports Illustrated. My name is Fred. A step ahead. Lamine Yamal. Accomplished beyond his years, Barca's 18-year-old sensation has helped lift Spain into a favorites role as he continues his march toward a seemingly limitless future. Vast as the palette may be for all the emotions that athletes experience in the course of competition, pity isn't one that tends to stand out. But there was Lamine, it's L-A-M-I-N-E, Lamine, I guess, Lamine Yamal, V-A-M-A-L. But there was Lamine Yamal in Brussels last November feeling genuinely sorry for the opponents he just cooked in the 61st minute of a Champions League match. Yamal, the 18-year-old Barcelona winger, took a pass 20 or so yards in front of the goal. In a jag resembling a bit of slapstick comedy, he dribbled around, passed and through a half-dozen defenders, leaving them flat-footed in the grass, like garden gnomes, when only the goalkeeper remained as the final line of defense. Yamal garnished this run with a final dash of sorcery, using the outside of his left foot to guide the ball with power and precision into the back of the net. It was a mismatch of skill. Yamal's sumptuous talent pitted against athletes who were merely world-class, not generationally elite. It was also a mismatch of age. Yamal celebrated by flashing his signature hand gesture, more on that later, and an incandescent smile revealing his signature braces. A reminder that Yamal is often closer in age to his opponent's kids than to the opponents themselves. For Yamal, it recalled the goal he'd score earlier in his career in a preseason game against FC Seoul. That one, too, triggered in Yamal pride for his feet, but also genuine compassion for the other guys. In the end, they also have friends, just like I do, he said. If I were a fullback, I wouldn't like it if a player who's much better than me were to keep getting away from me all the time. I would ask them to please slow down a little, otherwise my friends would make memes about me. Yamal rehashed this all inside a television studio in Barcelona's warehouse district. He was there to appear on 60 Minutes, and we spoke for nearly an hour. He was also there to shoot a commercial slash music video for Coca-Cola based on Jump, Coke's anthem for the 2026 World Cup. Just a few years ago, Yamal's post-practice afternoons entailed playing FIFA with friends. Now he is FIFA. His Barca jerseys sell more briskly worldwide, reportedly 1.32 million in 2025 than those of any other player in the sport. The equivalent of a VPN, Yamal will be available and easily accessible in the U.S. this summer. Spain ranks among the World Cup favorites and will kick off its campaign in Atlanta on June 15th. And its swollen hopes rest largely on a star more than 2 years short of the co-host nation's legal drinking age. The story of Spain's best young soccer player begins not in Iberia, but in Africa. In 1990, Fatima Nasrao snuck onto a bus in Morocco and crossed into Spain in the hope of building a better life. When she'd put enough money together, she sent for her boys. And soon, Munir and Abdul Nasrao emigrated from Morocco to Spain as well. Munir was still a teenager when he met Sheila Ebena, a recent arrival from Equatorial Guinea, who was working at a local McDonald's. Bonded by their immigrant experience, they married, and in July 2007 had a son whom they named Lamine Yamal, in honor of two friends who helped the couple financially. A fine player in his day, Munir had early designs of rearing his son as a soccer star. The young couple raised their boy in a town of Mataro, population 130,000, in the neighborhood of Rocca Fonda, a North African enclave a few blocks from the Mediterranean, a 45-minute drive north of Barcelona. Soon the sight of Munir putting Lamine through dribbling and passing drills became a fixture on the asphalt pitch of the local park. Sometimes they recruited bigger kids. Sometimes they used neighborhood dogs as stand-in defenders. "It was dribbling," says Yamal. "Since I was afraid the dog could catch me, I'd run away with the ball." Munir and Sheila divorced when their son was three. Lamine Yamal Nasrui Abana became Lamine Yamal. Both parents were active in his upbringing. Sheila remarried another soccer enthusiast, moved to the town of La Torita, and played the role of nurturer. Munir was the soccer equivalent of a little league dad. Yamal was also raised in Rocca Fonda. The neighborhood was once described by the Spanish daily newspaper El País as forgotten, isolated, and stigmatized. But Yamal remembers it warmly. "I spent more time at the park than I spent it at my home. It was there that he learned to use his gifts, his instincts, his anticipation, and almost subliminally, fast first step." On the other side of town, Lionel Messi was beginning his path to the goat pasture, and Yamal was getting noticed as well. First, he played for a team in his mother's neighborhood, CF La Torreta. At age six, he was spotted by Barca scouts who recruited him for a junior team that played and trained on the pitches of La Masia, the farm, Barcelona's famed youth academy. For Yamal, the manicured fields and wide open spaces made it soccer heaven, albeit with a hellish commute. He and his father would often take two trains from Rocca Fonda, passing a ball in the aisle if the cars were empty. Otherwise, they slept. Eventually, the club arranged for Lamine and Munir to bunk at the academy. The reduced commute boosted Yamal's performance. Even playing up in age groups, he played in some U16 games when he was 11. He scored early and often. More important, he showed a sixth sense for tactics and spacing and anticipation and creativity, the intangibles that augur greatness. Barca's manager at the time, Xavi, enlisted Yamal, then 15, to train with the first team. Yamal made his La Liga debut on April 29, 2023. At just 15 years, 291 days old, he was the youngest player ever to represent Barcelona's first team. It was no novelty act, a boy against men. He more than held his own. Soccer commuter Ray Hudson, himself a teenage phenom for Newcastle in the 1970s, recalls watching Yamal play an early Champions League game against Inter Milan. This was against the hair-chested Italian defenders who come in with tackles with a machete down their jock straps, he says, and they couldn't contain him. Excuse me, Barca had the foresight to lock up Yamal after turning down various offers. Most notably, a 250 bid for Paris Saint-Germain. But Yamal also drew interest from the Moroccan Federation, which recruited him for its national team. Yamal concedes that when Morocco beat Spain in the 2022 World Cup, his loyalties were tugged in both directions. Aware poachers were circling, the Spanish national team plugged a 16-year-old Yamal into a game against Georgia. Ultimately, he decided to represent Spain, the country of his birth, but his custom boots come adorned with the flags of both Morocco in Equatorial Guinea. A reminder that, as he puts it, I represent a lot. Yamal Starr turn came in the 2024 Euros. In short order, he became the youngest player ever to play in the tournament, to score a goal to help his country win the event. But the age records shortchange his impact. His side-winding goal against France in the semifinals, a curling guided missile launched from outside the penalty area, stood as the goal of the tournament. The day after his 17th birthday, he played in the biggest game of his young life. Not that he gave any indication. Yamal napped on the bus on the way to the Olympia Stadium in Berlin. Against England, he assisted on the first goal of the final, tying the record for most assists for in a Euro tournament. Changed the defense's spacing with his playmaking threat and celebrated mightily when Spain won. As if eager to show that this was no fluke, back in La Liga, Yamal resumed his precocious, ferocious play. Goals came fast and furious. Yamal, marking them with a signature hand gesture that creates a 304, a tribute to the Rocafonda postal code. The month he turned 18, Barca rewarded him with a contract reported to pay him around $30 million a season. An assortment of brands confer roughly the same amount in endorsements. Last fall, he narrowly lost out to PSG's Ousmane Dembele for the Ballon d'Or. Yamal took it in stride. "I don't dream of one Ballon d'Or. I dream of many," he said. "If I don't get them, it will be my fault." His father, less so. "I think this is the biggest, I won't say theft, but moral damage done to a human being," Manor memorably said, "because I believe Lamine Yamal is the best player in the world by far, by a huge margin." By official soccer rules these days, there comes a time in any discussion of Yamal that there must be a comparison to Messi, who also happens to be the hero of the previous World Cup. We've reached that point. Two different players, two different eras, two wildly different personas. Messi's studied blandness versus Yamal's irrepressible color. Still, the overlap is both unmistakable and unshakable. Two soccer Mozarts, both left-footed wingers who came of age playing for the same club. Barca hasn't helped matters either. That may have plied Yamal with a hype-diffusing talking points. I'm honored to be mentioned in the same breath, but I want to be first Yamal, not the second Messi. But they have also plied him with the jersey number 10, same as Messi and Diego Maradona before that. But even before this came an unmatched moment of sports greatness foreshadowing, when Lamine was barely 3 months old, the family entered a raffle through Barca. A dozen winning entrants could be treated to a family photo session alongside a Barcelona player, with the images compiled for a calendar to benefit UNICEF. Not only was Sheila's entry chosen, once summoned to Camp Nou for the shoot, she and her infant son were picked to pose alongside the club's ascending star. You guessed it, Lionel Messi. Almost two decades later, the photographer that day, Joan Montfort, shows off the fruits of the serendipitous session. One image, Sheila hands her son over to Messi, himself only 20 and beginning his assault on global soccer. Messi appears game but grips the baby gingerly. "Imagine," Montfort says, "Michael Jordan holding baby LeBron." With the caveat that trajectories change and sports careers sinuous, let the record reflect. At 17, Messi had played in 8 matches, scored a single goal, and tallied 0 assists. Yamal had played 106 matches, scored 25 goals, and amassed 28 assists. You could also make the counterpoint that Messi has won the Ballon d'Or record 8 times. Let Yamal win his first before we start comparing and contrasting. The starkest difference between the two reside not in their play, but in their modes of being. Intensely shy, Messi has been strenuously unknowable off the pitch. Yamal, in the words of Guillaume Baluga, a dean of Spanish soccer coverage, he is closer to a pop star than a traditional footballer. If Yamal's play screams, "Look at me," so does everything else about him. From his platinum-dyed hair to his social media profile, asked if he minds being a star, Yamal smiles, nods, and laughs before the end of the question. "I don't. In fact, I like it," he said. Yamal admits it can get to be a bit much. A conventional 18-year-old kid gets out of school and goes home. I go out to practice while 4 paparazzi are at my house asking questions about my life. I turn on the TV and I'm on TV. I walk down the street and I see a kid wearing my jersey. Honestly, I believe I'll never be a normal 18-year-old because people don't see me as normal. Then again, he's not normal. FIFA has recognized Yamal as a generational talent. You'll be seeing a lot more of his braces and platinum locks at the World Cup. Yamal's image is unavoidable in Roca Fonda, where his face has been rendered in graffiti on the asphalt soccer pitch. Even Uncle Abdul has renamed his local restaurant in his nephew's honor. It's now Bar Cafeteria LY304, and a tinfoil replica of the World Cup trophy sits behind the bar. The World Cup final will be held July 19th, 6 days after Yamal turns 19. He hopes that evening that Spain will hoist the real trophy. But he vows that for all the expectation and change his transcendent skills have already wrought on his life, his relationship to the sport is unalterable. He'll continue playing soccer for and from the soul. "I've never been the type of person who comes to the field thinking, oh man, today I want to score 4 goals and get 3 assists. However, I do think I want to do what I used to do at the park. I want people to have fun. I want to have fun with my teammates. And if I score lots of goals, that would be even better. But I believe soccer goes beyond that." Okay, moving to our second article. From the latest edition of Sports Illustrated, kicking it old school. Better nutrition, improved training methods, fewer cigarettes. Put it all together, and soccer's elder statesmen aren't just prolonging their careers; they're continuing to dominate. Okay. In 2016, Cristiano Ronaldo set a goal that felt mad even for him. Quote, I'm at the best club in the world and I want to retire here, he said, referring to Real Madrid. So far, so good. At 41, you what? Almost no soccer players stay at the top past 40 unless you're a goalkeeper or Paul Maldini, or your water bottle has been sourced from the actual fountain of youth. Strikers like Ronaldo tend to hit the wall by 35, their legs sour, their hearts beat slower. Each training session feels a little more painful than the last. Yet, at this World Cup, Ronaldo will be there, Portugal captain and lead striker at 41. Last year, Ronaldo did a test claiming his biological age was just below 29. You'd laugh had you not suspected it was true. Well, Ronaldo is an Zurich freak locked into a Rocky Balboa montage on repeat. he's not entirely alone. Since the addition in 1930, only one male outfielder over 40 has appeared in a World Cup, Roger Milla, in 1994. Now the Cameroon striker might be followed not just by Ronaldo, but also Croatia playmaker Luka Modric, age 40, and Bosnia forward Edin Dzeko, age 40. We're not talking about the reserve left back for Curaçao here, all due respect. The oldest names at this World Cup are also some of the biggest. 2 decades ago, these guys might have been sipping Negronis on a beach in the Caribbean right now, 20 pounds heavier, grappling with the post-career existential crisis. But many soccer stars are playing for longer. 2 years ago, the Portuguese defender Pepe became the oldest player at the Euros at age 41. In the qualifiers for that tournament, the record for the oldest player was broken 3 times. A University of Vigo study found that from 1992 to 2018, the average player age in the Champions League rose by 1.6 years. Lionel Messi turns 39 in June. Over in Spain, Robert Lewandowski, who missed out on his third World Cup when Poland lost in a playoff to Sweden, has been scoring for Barcelona at age 37. There is a saying that soccer players die twice. The first time when they stop playing, at a time when tech CEO turned longevity lab rat Brian Johnson spends millions a year on supplements and blood transfusions in a bid to live longer, these veterans are trying to stave off their own mortality. Don't die, Johnson likes to say. You can imagine players writing something similar on their bathroom mirrors, staring at it every morning, saying it out loud, don't retire. The question is, how and why? Disclaimer here, the methods you will read about here are carried out by professionals and might not all work for you. In fact, some of them might not even work for the professionals. The cigarette for me, says footballer genius Stanley Matthews. The year is 1952, the headlines from a magazine ad, and Matthews is one of the biggest stars in England. Wow, sports stars advertising cigarettes. Stan takes his training very seriously and soon discovered the cigarette which suited him best, says the copy. Next to the text, a smiling Matthews is holding a cigarette in his right hand, like Popeye raising a can of spinach. Matthews never actually smoked, and he preferred carrot juice to alcohol, but in the 1970s and 80s, Johan Cruyff and Michel Platini lit up in the locker room. Some British players geared up for games with steak or a slurp of whiskey. At the 2006 World Cup, Zinedine Zidane was seen with a cigarette days before the semifinal against Portugal, in which he scored the winner. Of course he did, even though he had fronted an EU campaign against smoking. In 2000, Leicester City prepared for the League Cup final with a drunken training camp in La Manga, Spain, where the players were kicked out of their hotel after setting off a fire extinguisher in a piano bar. They won the game. 2 years later, hard-running midfielder Ray Parlour scored for Arsenal in the FA Cup final, and on the plane home, he was about to swill down a beer only to hear a voice say, "No drinking." It was the coach, Arsene Wenger, reminded him that they had a league title to clinch in 5 days. This was Saturday night on a date, Parler gets so drunk on champagne and tequila slammers that he stumbles across 3 tables. Sunday, Parler stops by a social club to greet his brothers and ends up downing 10 pints of Guinness. Wednesday, Arsenal wins the league and Parler is named man of the match. As he walks into the locker room, Wenger taps him on the shoulder. "You were superb, Ray. Do you know what it is that made the difference?" Parler says, "No, boss, what was it?" I stopped you drinking that beer on the plane. But in the last decade, the game has changed. The game is almost unrecognizable in terms of speed and pace and power, says Danny Donacci, who has worked as head of medicine at Everton and Aston Villa. The players are sprinting more. They're also playing more games as the global calendar is packed with new tournaments and expanding old ones, such as this very World Cup. There's no hiding place, says Paul Balsam, head of UEFA's fitness advisory group, who has worked as a performance manager for Sweden at 3 World Cups and 7 Euros in at Leicester, where the club won the Premier League 10 years ago. It's 24-7 for these top players. They have to take care of themselves both on and off the field. Most players are fitter and healthier than they've ever been. What's the secret of those who hit 40? I don't think there's a magic potion that's going to add 10 years to a career, says Balsam, who stresses that players such as Ronaldo and Modric are outliers, but it's probably that they're genetically blessed, highly motivated, and a little bit better at everything, and more focused when it comes to taking care of their bodies. In the last decade, the soccer diet has transformed. Not long ago, teams in England would eat eggs, bacon, and sausages, says nutritionist Lauren Bannock, who advises a series of elite soccer players and has worked with the national team of Egypt and Belgium. To a certain extent, it would be about giving the players food they fancied. Then the clubs hired Michelin star chefs. But even that is over. We've got a new era of performance chefs, says Bannock. They're more focused on actual sports nutrition requirements, things like fuel timing and protein needs, as opposed to let's just throw some more cream in there and make it look amazing. Yet even the clubs can't control what the players do at home, and the veterans count every calorie. Messi has long since cut down on soda in Milanese, thin breaded veal patties, popular in Argentina. Ronaldo is said to eat 6 small meals a day. At Man United, his team Patrice Evra once came over for lunch hoping for red meat and bubbles, only to be served salad, chicken, and mineral water. When Cristiano invites you for lunch at his house, just say no, says Evra. Lewandowski starts with dessert. Then he eats carbs, then fish and meat. He ends the meal with a starter, like salad or soup. The idea came from his wife, Anna, a nutritionist and 3-time medalist at the Karate World Championship, based on the theory that sweet foods digest faster. Lua avoids decadent indulgences such as lactose, wheat flour, and whole milk. Obviously, a sleep coach has told him to rest on his left side to protect his stronger right leg. In a net note, we're going to have to end it there because we have run out of time. But great articles this time around. It's been a pleasure reading for you today on the fourth day of the 6th month in the year 2026. I hope you've enjoyed listening. And better still, I hope you have a wonderful day. Please do take care. My name is Fred.